Welcome to Ram Radio, the webcast, which is the biblical alternative. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says to sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks us to give an account of the hope that is in us, yet with gentleness and with reverence. Welcome to Ram Radio. This is Pastor John Coleman in Los Angeles, California, in the Lucy Coleman Studio on this Veterans Day. As our country is struggling and fighting and surviving, first of all, I want to say thank you to our men and women in the military. This will not be a very long webcast, but it's just an opportunity for me to say I appreciate the work. I appreciate the lives that have been lost for our freedom, such as it is. This is Pastor John, your Ram Radio host. Thank you so much for joining me for this time. The scripture that we're going to look at will be Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 10. I'm so glad that you can join me for another webcast. I really am. We're going to have a great time today as we for the first time, this is the first time that I've ever did a webcast where I'm really excited about doing it on Veterans Day. What I plan to do later on this afternoon is I plan to take the drive down to San Diego, spend a little time with Timothy Sanford, my play son down there. You know, he's a veteran of the Iraqi war. He spent two tours down there. So we're going to go down and I'm going to drive down to San Diego from Los Angeles tonight, have dinner, probably spend the night with he and his wife and his children, and just have a wonderful time down there. I'd like to share these words of scripture with you from Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 9. Let love be genuine. Another translation says, let love be without hypocrisy. I kind of like the way that is. Without hypocrisy. And then it says, abhor that which is evil. You know what that is? That means hate what is evil and hold fast to what is good. In other words, cling to it. Grasp it for the very life that it offers you. And then it says, love one another with mutual affection. I like this in this particular translation. It says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, mutual affection. Be that close with one another. Love our military men. You know, some of them are limbless. Some of them have psychological problems because they grew up in a day and age when everything was beautiful and nice in America. After 9/11, they volunteered to go over there because of Al-Qaeda and whatever else excuses that they gave. Regardless of what you feel happened or what's going on in the world, these young people put their lives on the line for what we, you know, I was on the way home last night from having dinner with some friends of mine in Santa Ana, California, which is in Orange County. And before I came home, I pulled up in a standard station and a Chevron station, and I filled my tank up with gas. I just filled it up. It cost me over $60. I'm going to throw that money away driving to San Diego to spend some time with my son, Timothy. But there's guys that are dying, fighting for us to have the audacity to do that. I had the audacity to pull up to the gas station in my 2002 Lexus convertible hardtop and to fill it up without even thinking about it, with no cash. I did it with a credit card on the credit line that I've established since I was a young man. You find a lot of people can't even get established credit these days because the world is by far a far different world than it was. We need to thank God for what these young people have done in their lives for us. But let's take a look at these verses right here and kind of like give some background to it as we look at verses 9 through 16. The professed love of Christians to each other should be a sincere kind of love, free of deceit and, unmeaning and deceitful compliments. depending upon divine grace. That's what our love is depending upon. And we must detest the dread of all evil. And there's so much evil going on amongst us. We have to guard ourselves from falling into that. You know, it's like when I was in the military and I was stationed in my basic training in Fort Polk, Louisiana. And I'll never forget, upon coming into the zero week is what they called it, where they shave your head off, take all your civilian clothes, all of your civilian attachments, the books that we had, the magazines that we had to throw it all out. Sergeant made us throw that in the trash. They shaved our head, dressed us all up in the same uniform, and then all of a sudden they told us, basically, you're in the Army now. In other words, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. I was drafted in 1965. It wasn't a volunteer army. It wasn't a kind of a thing where, hey, you know what? We didn't sign a contract with the military when I was in 1965. Sign what? We were fighting the Vietnamese. They were drafting young men in this country to go and put their lives on the line, man, and God only knows. I was lucky enough to get sent to Seoul, Korea. The picture that you see of me on my website, I was in a Kwansin hut in Seoul, Korea in 304th Signal Battalion. I was a radio teletype operator, bringing up a communication for the 8th Army in Yongsan, stationed in Seoul, Korea. So I had they called it then a gravy train experience, where a lot of my buddies were being thrust into the jungles of Vietnam. And a lot of them never came home. They died over there. Some of you that are my age that are listening to this, and I think that's a good representation. You see the way I used to wear my hair? I'm wearing it in the same fashion right now, but the only thing is that my hair is white. I have to go to the barbershop today before I head down to San Francisco to get it trimmed up, because I may spend the weekend down there, but I have to be back. I'm preaching here in L.A., so I really have to be back by tomorrow sometimes. But that's the way I look there, and this is the way I look now. God has been good. So, but I learned as a Christian that whatever kind of life I have, I am to be useful in that life. We must not only do that as believers in God, which is good, but we must cleave to it, hold to it. All of our duty towards one another is summed up in one word, love. Love. I'm a soldier now of love. I'm a soldier of Jesus Christ. I love you. I love you. I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm going to take my uniform jacket, my dress green, with me to San Diego, because I hear that in Applebee's they're giving free dinner. Not that I need one. I'm going to pay for it, but I'm going to have one in my jacket. And I'm a veteran of the Vietnam era. I hope to meet some other older guys I can talk about in Applebee's tonight. I'm going to go down there with my son, Timothy, because Timothy, he was in the Navy, a veteran of this war that they had, well, that they're still fighting over there. And it's going to be a wonderful time. Father and son, both veterans, Timothy and his Navy stuff, and me and my Army. And I know that some of you detest military and stuff like that, but without the military, you would not be able to live in the freedoms that you have now. I asked one of my other sons about the military. He wanted to wear, I won't tell you which one, he wanted to wear my jacket to, you know, go to a club and say, hey, look at this, hey, but that's fake and phony. And I don't think that you should wear the uniform like that. You degrade the uniform. So this denotes love of a parent to their children. This is the way I love each other, which is more tender and natural than any other kind of love. I'm not talking about the love where I want to get undressed and be with you that way. It's not like that. That's supposed to happen between somebody that loves you, that dedicates their lives to you, that wants to spend the rest of their life with you like that. This is an unconstrained love. And love to God and man, it is a zeal of loving the good news of that salvation has come to us. This love makes us wise and godly, diligent in all of our worldly business. and gaining superior skills. We love God because God must be served with the spirit of love, under the influence of the Holy Spirit of love. He is honored by our hope and our trust in Him, especially when we rejoice in that hope that we have for Him. And I'm reading this from a commentary and throwing my own words in it, because I believe that that is what God wants us to do and to be on this Veterans Day. I was looking at Good Morning America, where they're talking about honor our servicemen, and they gave these special services and awards and commendations to them to try to make their lives better. You know, these young boys going over there to Iraq, getting limbs blown off. You have to think about this. I have an entire new generation. They would be like my children or my grandchildren, with no legs, no arms, lost their mental capability, going through various constraints. A lot of these soldiers kill themselves because they feel that, and there's no love that they get from the other people. Those that rejoice and hope are likely to be patient in generation, but we should not be cold in the duty of prayer, not soon to be weary of it. When you see our guys and gals of the armed forces, especially these babies, these children that have been shipped over to the other side of the world, and I'm telling you, we have a weaponry that is superior to everyone else, and we use it, but we have to be there in human construct form. And when somebody walks into a place with a bomb strapped to them, blowing themselves up, believing in what they mean to be true, we Americans are not used to that. We're not taught in our society to blow ourselves up or to kill the innocent for a cause. But we have to fight for the freedom that we believe in as a democracy. I was having a few words with a neighbor friend of mine that was talking about America yesterday. And I said, "You sound like a communist. You can leave here, buddy." I said, "You can leave here because the freedoms that I'm talking about to drive my car, a car that I bought with my money. And this dude is walking." And he told my other neighbor that he never has liked me. I guess he didn't like me because my marriage worked and his fell on the rocks. But see, he's a foreigner from another country. And he has absolutely no respect for African-American males. That he's a black man, but he's not an American black man. Know what he told me yesterday? He told me, "You can't go and live in any other country because you're an American black man and they don't want you." I don't need them to want me. I'm from this country. This is my land. And I told him, "You know what, man? You can get the hell up out of here." That's what I told him. "You can get up out of here." I said, "But don't come to me." See, I served in the military. A lot of dudes that was my age died in Vietnam. I know. We lost the war in shame. When our soldiers came home, people were booing them. They booed me because they thought that when I came home from being in Korea, that I was a part of the Vietnam fiasco. You know, the Jane Fondas. They eat well, they live well, and they can, they have the freedom in this country to express that kind of, but don't you express that discomfort to a military man or woman that put their lives on the line, and weak, lily-livered people who, well, let me be quiet, let me stick with this Bible study, because the Bible tells me to love them, right? Bible tells Pastor John, "Well, I'm loving them, Lord, but my goodness, they make it very difficult for me to love." They really do. Very difficult. Not only must there be kindness, Pastor John, to friends and brethren and to people that are not your brethren, we as godly people must not harbor anger against our enemies. And I shouldn't have, you see, I'm preaching to myself because my neighbor brought it out. He brought it out. And then I'd forgotten that today was Veterans Day. Both of my sons who live with me told me, said, "Yeah." One of the sons said, "I don't have to go to work today because they closed the office. And banks are closed and these are closed. I hope my barbershop isn't closed." You see, and you know what? I'm proud to be a vet. I am very proud. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take one of the emblems. I just may wear my hat. Just may wear my little cap. And when I walk through the mall, I'm going to have that cap on. People are going to say, I'm a vet. That's why. I'm a vet. And I wear this little cap from my dress greens with proud heritage. I'm not ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of our soldiers. Don't do that. Be ready to entertain those who do good. See, this is what these verses mean. And as there is an occasion, we must welcome the strange soldier. We must welcome them with one leg, with one arm, half the face blown off. Bless and curse not. It means thoroughly given goodwill. And I think that this day, Veterans Day, means that we give that goodwill to our soldiers. You don't have to agree with the war. You don't have to agree with the Bush policy or the Obama nation. You don't have to agree with any of that stuff. But when you see that man and that woman walking down the street in uniform or in a special celebration or suffering greatly, you should say, like I saw, I was coming out of the VA one day and one person walked up to another person and said, I want to thank you. No, I wasn't in the VA. I was in a mall. And a soldier was walking by and a little white girl walked up to him and said, I just want to shake your hand to the black soldier. And said, no, as a matter of fact, it was at the college. Because I was talking with two military men at the school. And when I did that, one of the white students came up and shook their hands and said, thank you for your sacrifice. And when I looked at the two young soldiers, Army soldiers, they looked young enough to be my children, 19 or 20. I asked them how they were. They were both 20. The whites of their eyes, man, their teeth were firm and in place. They were young in the prime of their lives. And they would go over there and sacrifice their lives for the freedom of our society here. You people don't know what Veterans Day is all about. That is what Veterans Day is all about. It's not about us being warmongers, imperialists, trying to go over there and take over the oil. Now, there's something in that, too, because our government has an agenda which is pushed forth. And since you live in this country and reap the benefits of driving up to a gas station, filling up your tank with all that petrol, so that I could leave Los Angeles and drive on safe, beautiful highways all the way down south, a couple of hundred miles to San Diego, just to have dinner with my play son, who is like flesh of my flesh that I love, that has done Ram Radio things with me and work with me in ministry. America allows that freedom to see the ocean right next to the highway there. And I'm going to pass by Camp Pendleton, the major Marine base here in Southern California, listening to my music and my stereo, enjoying the drive down there, all because of God allowed this grace to be. I am proud to be an American vet. I am. True Christians will love to take part in the sorrows and joys of each of their fellow citizens. They will labor as much as we can to agree in the same spiritual truths. We must not, as Christians, lose our responsible aptitude towards the society that we live in at any time. And when we come short of that, yet agree in defection, look upon worldly pomp and dignity with holy contempt. Wait a minute, do not mind it. Be not in love with this kind of contemptuous behavior. Be reconciled to the place where God in his providence put us, placed us, whatever it may be. You may be out of a job, out of a life, out of a home, out of some money, but when you see that American soldier, you will not be out of touch with them. You will do exactly what it is that God has called you to do. I love it because as you continuously move on down to Romans chapter 13, you know what it says? It says, let every person be in subject to the governing authorities. This is our military authorities. And then it says, for there is no authority except from God. In other words, God did not providentially allow that authority to be there arbitrarily. No, you have to understand, if anyone attacks our borders, these very people that we celebrate Veterans Day shall place their lives on the line for us citizens, for us to bear arms, to have the right to do that, to go and eat in any restaurant we want to in San Diego. Now look what he says. Look what it says. It says, and those authorities that exist have been instituted by God. You may not agree with it, but God has allowed it. and we have an ultimate responsibility towards that authority. And then it says in verse 3, for rulers, look at this, therefore, wait a minute, verse 2, therefore, whosoever resists the authority resists what God has appointed. Now, let's talk about this because it's very important. If the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force, and the Marines go into one of these places to break up this occupied stuff, you had better move your booties out of that occupied area. Because the government has instituted your fellow citizens. And don't try to go to the Army and try to get them to break covenant and contract because you want somebody to turn your government into a socialism. No, they will send the military forces down there when the local authorities cannot break it up. Because, see, a lot of cops are falling for this stuff. Well, you know, I can't do nothing to you because, you know, y'all are breaking the law and tearing up stuff and selling drugs out there and having sex out there and acting like you didn't take a reversal back to the 60s, tweaking a little bit, smoking your dope out in public. They will send the popo in there, and if the popo won't whip your butt, the military forces will. And if I was in the Army, I'd be down there giving the command to whoop your head. Why? Because look what the Bible says. Whosoever resists the authority resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. Meaning that when you get shot, let's go all the way back to the 60s to Kent State. They told those students to break up that thing at Kent State University. Students tried to throw things at the military. They let off a few volleys. Some folk died. Now, you may disagree with it. You may think that the military should not have shot. You better read this verse. The Bible is a real book, and you better conscribe yourself under that book. Because, oh, and wait a minute. For those of you that think that America is a godless nation that never followed this book, there was a time when most people in America followed this book to the T. Now, I know we live in a pragmatic society where anything goes. You put your butt out there and come against this military. And when they tell the military to fire a volley, not over the heads, but into the crowd, they will fire into the crowd or they will be shot. Now, that's the way this thing works. And you know what that's called? That's called a social contract. Because when the military person signs up for the military, they have signed a social contract to obey that law that they've signed up for. They're under contract to shoot you. Some of you that think that we have our right, you have a right to die. Now, therefore, whoever resists the authority has resist what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur the judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct. I just read you about loving. See, now you love your soldiers. Go on out there, give them a rose. Say, you know, y'all here to back us down if we mess up. That's right. That's right. That's what they're there to do. That's why, you know, it tickles me. I see these protesters looking at the Army and everything, and the Army's backing down, and they throwing bricks at the Army. Man, you throw that to the right Army. I didn't say the wrong one, but the right Army. You throw some bricks at the right Army, you're going to wish you didn't, because they will unleash a volley of power on you that you never thought that you would exist. I saw a few of those when the police opened up on some of these people out there. Now, I'm agreement that in America, you can protest it. You're going to protest it legally, but when somebody tell you, get your behind off my property, because it's stinking around here. You got garbage around here. Y'all smelling. Y'all bringing in the, you know, unscrupulous individuals that is using your decent, wonderful protest as a bunch of tomfoolery. So we got to clean this rebel out of here. If they call the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines in, I would suggest that you pack up your bags and get your butt off of the City Hall steps immediately, because they will do it. Now, why is this true? Listen, look at verse 4. For it is God's servant, that means the military, for your good. But if you do what is wrong, when they tell you to break it up, look what it says. You should be afraid. In other words, this is not a threat. This is a promise that God has given you in his word. You should be afraid, for the authority does not bear the sword in vain. You know what that means? If he puts a volley up your behind, you ask for it, and you will receive it. And it's a wonderful thing to fire a weapon with hot lead coming out of it and seeing you fall when you come against that authority. Now, this doesn't mean that I'm shooting you in hatred. I'm shooting you in love because you broke the law. And there is a consequence of you breaking the law, whether you agree with that law or not. That is why practically every government has military authority. Thank God in this country, the military authority has never superseded civilian authority and civilian rule. But when civilian rule breaks down and you seem to be losing the construct of your society, my friend, I've just given you the biblical authenticity to fire that gun in a rapid forming area. You military people listening to me, you took an oath. And if I'm out there with my clergy garment on and you tell me to move, just give me a few seconds. I will obey your command, or you can put one in the back of my head. It's as simple as that, because that's what decent societies are run on. And once you lose that, you should be afraid of that authority. He doesn't bear that sword in vain. Why? Because it is, that is, the government, the Army, Navy, Marines, and Air Force, is a servant of God at this time to execute wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must subject. I know we don't like that. Look at verse 5 of Romans chapter 13. Therefore, one must subject, not only because of the wrath, but also because of conscience. In other words, he said, you better think. Because when that hot lead hits you, you're going to be saying, they shot me. Yes, of course. And then you remember this webcast, won't you? Yeah, I know. I know. I don't like that, Pastor John. I don't agree with what you just said. You know what? Me, like the military, we really are not concerned about what you agree with. We just want you to break it up. Now, do you understand the military? Do you understand why they have Veterans Day, a day set aside to honor our vets, a day set aside to honor the men and women who placed their lives on the line for us? Do you understand what that is? Get the drums out. Let's start playing. Yeah, now we can play our drums and get our dance. Thank you, Lord, for the military. Thank you, Lord, for those guys that laid down their lives for us. Thank you, Pastor John, for sharing this with me today on this Veterans Day of 2011. Thank you for tuning in to the webcast. God bless you. Hold on just a little while longer, and God won't have to use this power on you. Pastor John in Los Angeles, California, in the Lucy Coleman studio, readying himself to go to San Diego to have a nice dinner with his son tonight. God bless you. Wish you can go with us. Pray for our military. You know the drill. Stay in the Word.